see Sister Althea Miles here in the house of the Lord this morning. I know she's just thrilled to be able to be back in God's house. And she's had quite a bit of sickness and illness. And it's just good to see her in the house of the Lord today. Amen. And good to have all those visiting with us. As we said, Brother Jeff's parents are here. And appreciate them being in the house of the Lord. Danny and Gary, good to see you guys anchoring the back for us. Oh, and appreciate that. Good to have Barry. And I want to get myself in trouble here. And his friend with us, but she's smiling a lot. So I kind of maybe have a spirit of discernment there. But good to have them with us in the house of the Lord. And also all the way from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Good to have Brother Brian Brown's brother and sister-in-law and their daughter, and Don and Molly, I believe it was. Appreciate them being with us in the house of the Lord. Let's let all our visitors know we're glad they're with us today. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I trust you had a wonderful week. The service here Tuesday night, just a wonderful, wonderful spirit, and all the wonderful testimonies, giving God praise and glory, and that was wonderful. And Monday night, appreciate all the work and effort that went into Monday night as well, and all the fun that we had. Amen. Had a great time Monday night, and I may go into auctioneering sometime in the near future. So somebody told me to tender my resignation and try it, so you never know. But I do appreciate your work, and just a lot of fun as well, and we certainly do appreciate that. The Lord is good to us. We have so much to thank the Lord for. Amen. And we just want to give him the praise that's due unto his name. If you have your Bibles, go with us this morning to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Amen. Mark, chapter number 5, starting in verse number 25. Mark 5 and 25. It's a portion of scripture that's very, very familiar to us. A story that we've heard preached and know very well, but a couple of things that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart to share with you this morning. In Mark 5 and 25, if you have it, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." With the Lord's help today, in just a moment we're going to pray, but I want to preach to you about from failure to favor. Going from failure to favor. And also yesterday, Brother Curtis Teague called. Brother Teague and Brother Lott left yesterday for Cameroon, Africa. And I told them we would pray for them this morning. They're somewhere flying, probably out of Paris, somewhere late this afternoon. So we want to remember them in prayer. And also Brother Rich left for Panama this morning, and Brother Trawick and them will be going in a week or so. But Brother Rich asked if we would pray for them as well. Brother Bruce Holcomb, we need to remember this morning. Any other urgent prayer requests as we just go to the Lord? Brother Ray Edwards yesterday visited with him and has pneumonia in his right lung. Was wanting to go home from the hospital, but not yet. So let's really uphold Brother Ray Edwards in prayer. Brother Maury Sr., remember him, if you would. Brother Mike. All right, remember this. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just pray, if you would, and let's look to heaven, ask the will of God to be done in our service this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father, asking you, Lord, to hear each and every request. Father, we ask you, Lord, to reach down and keep your hand upon those that are working for you, Brother Teague and Brother Lott. Lord, as they travel to a foreign land to win souls for your glory, we ask you to just watch over them and go before them and prepare the way. Father, Brother Rich and those that will be traveling to Panama to work for you and win souls in the jungle. Father, we ask you, Lord, to just overshadow them with your mercy and grace. And Father, these others that are sick in body, needing help from you, Father, we ask you, Lord, just to once again display your power and glory. And Father, we thank you for this privilege of being in the house of the Lord this morning. And we just ask you to speak to every heart and every life. Father, we'll praise you for it. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. May the Lord bless you as you're seated this morning. As I said, this story is so very familiar to us. Matter of fact, this is a text that was one of my very first sermons back in college. I found some notes recently, and the last year and when I was in college on a Wednesday night was preaching Brother Trewick there at Bible Holiness, and this was the text that I used. And preached on the woman who got what she needed. And the crowd was probably about this size, but it seemed like 10,000 people at that time, because half the crowd was the guys that I was going to college with. And I knew if I misspoke one word, it would be engraved in stone on every wall and it would never be forgotten. But this is a text that has always kind of riveted my mind and my heart, because I believe this should symbolize the spirit to which we come to church. This desperate individual who needed help from heaven, help from the Son of God. And if there's anything I learned about being raised in a preacher's home, church is a place of help. That the church, the sanctuary, is a place of refuge. It's a place where hope is born again. It's a place of restoration. It's a place of forgiveness. It's a place of beginning again. It's a place of deliverance. It's a place to where lives are turned around and set free from the addictions of this world. Amen. I'm glad for church, aren't you? It's not just a place to where we recount our theology and we just study some kind of traditional language, but really it's more than that. It is a place to where we can get a hold of God. And what a privilege today, friend, that you and I can actually encounter God. That we're not here just to look into some kind of theology and creed and customs, but more than that, Jesus was embodied in a person, and this woman grabs hold of virtue in her life, such as the will of God for our life today. That God wants every one of us, every man, woman, boy, and girl, to leave here knowing that you've encountered God, that you've touched the hem of the garment of Christ. And that's why I come to the house of the Lord, that the church is not some kind of museum to where we just inspect one another. It's not a morgue, for the Bible says that the dead praise not the Lord. We're alive this morning, so it's not a morgue. D.C. Branham said that it's not a monument to a dead Christ, but rather it is an argument for a living Lord. That's the way I feel about the church this morning, that if you need help from God, you are in the right place. For that's what this story is about. That there was a crowd gathered around Jesus, as there always was, as Jesus was performing miracles and preaching the word of God. There was always crowds gathered around Jesus, thousands and thousands of people at times, all with various needs. And the Bible is full of stories where needs were met, blinded eyes were opened, deaf ears were unstopped. At times, even the dead were brought back to life again by the power in the name of Jesus. How many believe that power is still the same today? Thank God for that. And so this story tells us about one individual in the midst of all of these people that are thronging the Lord. And now this story is amazing because there's a host of people that know about Jesus, but there's one woman who really needs to touch Jesus, such as it is probably in the house of the Lord today, that all the churches across the country, many of them will be packed with people. Many people know about Jesus, but there may be some that really need to touch Jesus. So my friend, this morning, are you part of that crowd that is thronging Jesus, or are you part of a group that want to touch Jesus? I'd like to get a hold and touch the hem of his garment today, wouldn't you? Amen. There's a lot of people that know Jesus and even show him respect. They say he's a great preacher or a great prophet. Some will even attribute him to be a master teacher. They show him respect. There are others that show him unbelief, that do not believe that he's the Savior, the Messiah. They just look and cause unbelief in their life. Others criticize him and ridicule his life. Others just full of indifference. Whether it's Muhammad, Buddha, Jesus, everybody and anything can be God. They just show indifference. But something inside of this woman takes her from failure to favor for 12 years, and you've heard the story, and we know her biography so well. We know her biography so well, we just don't even know her name. For the Bible said, a certain woman. Put yourself in her place. But for 12 years, she has tried to get better. For 12 years, she has exhausted every ounce of her money. For 12 years, she has done everything that she knows to do to try to get better. The Bible says, and I think it's important, that not only is she not getting better, she's getting worse. She's getting worse year by year, and spending all that she has. Now some will take this to kind of gang up on the doctors and say, why couldn't they help her? Well, obviously they've done everything they know to do, but how many know sometimes it's in the hand of the great physician? Thank God for the wisdoms that doctors have, and recently with my dad having that heart surgery, thank God for the wisdom they have and how they spared his life. Some of you, matter of fact, are walking with new hips and new knees and all kinds of things that they put in you. The wisdom they have to be able to make a new person out of an old person is unbelievable, is it not? And so they just can't help some of us. It's in the hands of the great physician. But this woman wants to be healed, and she's doing everything she knows to do, but she's getting worse. She feels like a failure. Her life is a failure. She's an outcast of society because of her condition. She's not allowed to mingle and intermingle with society. And so there she is as an outcast of society. She's broke. She has nothing left. She's exhausted every physician's idea. She has no money left. And for 12 long, she's at the very end of her rope. But the Bible says something happens this day. Amen. I don't believe it's accident. Amen. I believe this is in the sovereignty of God. Amen. And now this is me preaching this sermon today, so you preach it how you want to when you preach it. But the Bible said she heard of Jesus. Amen. I'm under the impression that this is the first time that she's been in a place where Jesus was passing by. Maybe she's heard about him through rumors, but she's never been in a place where the Son of God and the crowd was passing by. And so something inside of her says, it is now or never, that as Jesus is passing by, she she begins to talk to herself and says, if you can get to the hem of his garment, if you can just get to the hem of his garment, you're not going to die here. You got to press through that crowd. And she begins to talk to herself. Amen. Now my mother-in-law talks to herself a lot. And a matter of fact, she carries on conversations. We first got married and went back to my mother-in-law's house. I'd ask Beth, who is in there with your mom? Nobody. That's mom. It's one thing to talk to yourself. Kind of worries me, though, when you can carry on conversations in first and third person. Rita can do all that. And that's why when she gets here where there's actually flesh and blood and somebody breathing, she can actually talk to. She loves them plane rides down here. I tell Beth sometimes, I feel sorry for that person that gets pinned up against the window next to my mother-in-law, because, man, she can talk. And so I don't know why I'm talking about my mother-in-law. I'm supposed to be over here on this woman with the issue of blood. But the Bible teaches us that she hears of Jesus, and something inside of her begins to talk to herself. And she says, Brother Moore, I can press through that crowd. I see that crowd, but I can get through that crowd. So faith rises up inside of her. Now get this. We're going to go from failure to favor in just a moment. But what is that bridge? What is the name of that bridge that gets you from failure, from where you're at to where you need the favor of God? That bridge is called faith. It is that faith inside of you that says, I'm down, but if I can touch Jesus, I'll be healed. It is faith inside of you that says, I've tried 12 years, but I can still be healed. It's faith that says, I've spent all my money, but Jesus doesn't need money. It's faith that causes you to stir yourself and says, I've been praying for my child to be saved for years, but if I can pray one more time. Amen. I've been praying to be healed for years, but if I can just cross this bridge one more time. Amen. I'd love to see somebody go from failure to favor today. Amen. I'd love to see somebody cross over that bridge, be healed by the power and the glory of God. And I believe today it's able. Why? Not because of me or you, brother, but because of Jesus. And he's still the same yesterday. He is the same today. And he is the same forever. And so what the devil would love for you to do is just to say, I'm a failure. I'm going to die right here. This is my fate in life. I tried. I spent my money. I tried everything. I've been to every doctor. I did everything I could. My fate is to be a failure. But Jesus is passing by, friend. Isn't it worth trying? Isn't it worth the risk? You're going to die there anyway. And so faith says, I see the crowd. I see the multitude. But I got enough strength to get to Jesus. I'd love for somebody today to have that faith to get up and say, oh, if I can touch the hem. Matter of fact, that Greek word hem is a tassel, a garment, just the fringe. Jesus didn't have the high priestly garment with tassels, but she said, if I can just one thread, if I can just touch the very border. That's how powerful she believed he was. Now, I don't have time to preach about people making noise about Jesus. Maybe the reason sinners have quit seeking Jesus is because the church has quit making noise about Jesus. Hallelujah. If we'd make a lot more noise about Jesus on the job and in the neighborhood, I believe there'd be a lot more people trying to get to Jesus, wouldn't you? Oh, yes, I believe that. But she was a failure. But faith causes her to say, I'm moving right now. The first time she hears about Jesus, the first time. I don't know what the crowd is that will stop you from getting to Jesus. It may be past failure. There's a lot of things that cause people to say, there's no way I can get to Jesus.
Maybe you don't have all the answers. Maybe you're new to this thing. Maybe you don't understand why we sing like we sing. And maybe you don't understand everything, why I preach like I do. And you don't even understand what this church is really all about. Friend, all of that is secondary. What is first and foremost, there is a God that loves you, who sent his son to Calvary in your place, that you don't have to die in your sins. But we can go to heaven if we accept the shed blood of Jesus as ransom for our sins. But the devil wants you to stay in your sin. He wants us to live right here as a failure. He just wants us to die right here. But I'm glad as a young boy, amen, something rose up inside of me. I had to get through some of my best friends. I had to get through that crowd, but I wanted to get to Jesus. And maybe you got to get through past failure. Maybe you've been done wrong. Maybe you've been talked about. Maybe you've got bitterness. Maybe you've got all kinds of different things in your mind. And the devil will use anything he can to get you from getting to Jesus. But friend, I got news for you. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep having what you've got. And the world didn't satisfy me. The world, it left me empty and broken. I had to get to Jesus. I wanted to get to Jesus. And I just feel like there's somebody today that if you'd be honest, you'd say, I've tried the world, but I'm not satisfied. I'm empty and I'm searching. I got news, friend, everything the world has, it'll leave you searching and empty. But if you could say, I'd like to get to Jesus, amen, I would to God there'd be some folks in this church, make some noise about Jesus, that if somebody's discouraged, they'd say, I want to get to Jesus. Somebody's sick, say, I want to get to Jesus. Somebody discouraged, and say, I want to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. Has he ever done you anything but good? Have you ever had a friend like Jesus? So she began to press. She didn't just walk to Jesus, friend. I don't have time to preach to you about that word press. But she pressed through the crowd. Matter of fact, I really believe that if she wouldn't have got to Jesus, with her physical condition, very possibly pressing through that crowd, she would have died on her way. It was all or nothing for her. But she pressed. You really can't stop some people when they want to come to Jesus. You really can't. I mean, there's some people that come to church. Brother Ag Newsom was one. He come with his mind made up. He wanted to get saved. It didn't matter what I remember what I preached. It didn't matter what I preached that morning. He came to get saved. Hey, amen. You know, sometimes we worry about don't offend them, don't hurt them, and I believe all that. I wouldn't do that for $1 million. But if they really have their mind made up, if they really want to get to Jesus, friend, I'm telling you, you can't stop them. You couldn't stop that lady that day. She had to get to Jesus. You see, she was on a bridge. She had left failure and she was headed to favor. And she was walking on a bridge called faith. And faith won't let you die. Faith won't let you down. Faith will get you where you need to go. And she said, I've heard of Jesus. I heard he can open blinded eyes. I've heard he can unstop deaf ears. I heard he can raise the dead. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. There was a crowd just watching. That's all right, friend. There's a lot of people that'll just throng Jesus. They'll just kind of bump up against him and be part of the crowd. The disciples said, Lord, how can we tell who touched you? I mean, there's a multitude thronging thee, and you want to know who touched you? Because, friend, I didn't come to throng Jesus. I didn't come to be part of some kind of vague number. I come to touch him. I come come to lay hold of him. And when she touched Jesus, when she laid hold of the Alpha and the Omega, when she laid hold of the hem of the sinless Galilean, what doctors could not do, what money could not do, what the world could not do, God did right then. So really, Jesus is the answer. You fill in the blank of the problem, Jesus is the answer. You fill in the condition, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. But you got to get that bridge. Faith. Faith that says he can do it again. Faith that says I've seen him do it once. I know he can do it again. Faith that says, well, I've watched their children come back to Jesus. I'm believing mine. I've watched God heal them. I'm believing God will heal me. I watched them come to Jesus with addictions and he delivered them. I'm believing he'll deliver me. When she heard of Jesus. You see, the problem that I'm up against right now is, right now is not the first time you've heard of Jesus. We've heard about Jesus pretty much our whole life. But you see, this was her first chance. She hadn't been through 63 revivals, 16 camp meetings, and 5,000 Sunday services. She just heard of Jesus. Faith said, go for it. Faith said, move. Faith said, try it. What about you? Has the devil caused you just to sit there and say, it's no use? You're just going to have to live with it. It's just your fate. This is the way the family tree works out for you. What if the doctor handed you a report and said, there's no hope? It's all right. I can still go to Jesus. Isn't that what this story is all about? They said, we've done everything we can. Oh, yes. I mean, what the Holcomb family right now. I mean, the trauma unit, as far as Memorial is concerned, that's one of the best in the country. I know they're doing everything they know to do. But is not God greater? Hallelujah. I mean, think of the biggest problem you've ever had, or think of the biggest problem you can ever imagine. He's greater. I said he is greater. He's greater than cancer. He's greater than leukemia. He's greater than any sickness. Matter of fact, friend, he's greater than the natural elements. Even the seas and the winds, they lay down in obedience to him. Matter of fact, I got one more for you. He is greater than death. I said he's greater than death. He has power over death. I'm telling you, God is greater, and the devil is a liar. He'd love for us just to wallow there and say, I've spent my money and I gotta die like this. No, no, no. I said Jesus has the final say so. Why don't you try to cross that bridge? Why don't you try to find favor this morning? And I say he is greater than any problem. He's greater than any circumstance. He's greater than any sickness. He's greater than any dilemma that you have in your life. He's greater. But the question is, you got to answer here. Are you part of the crowd that's going to throng Jesus? Just part of the crowd? Or are you going to touch him? What about this Sunday morning as Brother Mark comes? Are you just going to, oh, I know about Jesus. He was a good prophet. I know about Jesus. Oh, I know Jesus had 12 disciples. I even know the books of the New Testament. I know about Jesus. Are you just part of that crowd? I'm going to tell you what I really felt in prayer this morning. and I've never preached about it. Verse number 29, I believe it is. The Bible said she felt in her body that she was healed. That had never jumped out at me before. She felt in her body she was healed. Before Jesus turned around, she felt in her body. She knew it in here. So what I really felt impressed this morning when I was praying, I said, God, there's somebody here. You may act like you're doing all right, but you don't really feel it right here. And I asked God to give us an altar service this morning where you could really know God's done a work right here. Long before anybody else knows, it's right here. I remember when I got saved, I felt it. She felt in her body. So right now, I want you to look deep into your heart. I'm not asking you about anything else, except are you really satisfied with where you're at in Jesus? With every head bowed and every eye closed, friend. Just a moment, we're going to make an altar before the Lord, but would you really be honest with yourself right now? And I'd love to see somebody cross that bridge this morning and find the favor of God. Can you imagine what God has waiting for you if you could cross that bridge? But are you really happy? Are you really satisfied with where you're at? Do you really have peace? Do you really have contentment?
Touching Jesus.
Do you really have joy? Or do you feel like life's let you down? Do you feel a little bit of that failure, that emptiness, that still searching? Well, she heard of Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus is the missing piece to your puzzle. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you'd say, Brother Ralston, would you pray for me? Would you pray, because I'm really not satisfied with where I'm at. I'm really not satisfied. And I'd love to make that move to find the favor of God. If you could pray that or say that with me this morning, how many of you just lift a hand and put it back down? And you'd say, Brother Austin, I want you to pray for me because I'm not content. I'm really not. God bless that hand. Any other hand? You just lift it. Put your hand back down. I'm not going to come back and ask you to come to this altar. This is just between you and the Lord right now. And say, I'm really not satisfied. You really don't have peace. Any other hands? Just a few more seconds. Bless that hand. Any other hands lifted this morning? Amen. I'm asking God to give you something you can feel in your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me all over this congregation this morning?